I'm Jim Benson, and you're listening to TV Time Machine on Intelligent Talk, 1170 KCBQ. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and visit our show archives at tvtimemachine.com.
Chris Mann.
Chris, that was pretty phenomenal. You know what? I just love seeing the statement, the voice, behind your face right now, because honestly, you were exactly that.
We're back again with Chris Mann talking about The Voice and his new album, Rhodes, right here on the TV Time Machine. What surprised you the most about Christina Aguilera?
Christina's work ethic was the most impressive thing I've ever seen, because we had long days and we'd have really early mornings, and she would roll in and we would be all tired, and we'd have to do like Fighter, for example, when we performed with her, and we had maybe like a 9 a.m. or 8 a.m. rehearsal. And if I were her, I would have been marking or like kind of understanding to save my voice, but as soon as the song started, she was like 100% performing that song physically, vocally, and I'd be like, whoa, and it made me raise my game, even though I was supporting her, but it was like, wow, if she clearly doesn't ever have a rehearsal, like her rehearsals are 100% performances, and I thought that was a really good lesson to learn about how to be professional.
She also strikes me as being very strategic in the way that she thinks, and that may not be apparent to a lot of people who may think of her in a certain perspective.
She's really smart, and she is very smart, and she knows what she's doing. Vocally, she knows what she's doing. As a performer, she knows what she's doing. And I think, you know, three seasons in, she knows what she's doing in terms of what her team is. And I think she knew what she was doing with me, and though I didn't win the show, I really want to be like the winner in the end. And I think she's helping me do that by believing in my record and by lending her voice to my record. That you don't have to actually win the voice to win the battle at the end or have the career. So looking ahead to hopefully having that.
Now, you mentioned it before. What was it like being thrust into the spotlight so quickly, like a lightning flash?
I didn't really ever notice it. And honestly, when you're on the show like that, we're sequestered in a hotel, and we're not really out in the public too much. So I didn't really know, and I still don't. I don't feel like I'm like crazy recognizable necessarily. I mean, I got today at lunch, for example, someone recognized me and said nice things, but it's not like I'm David Beckham mob at the mall. And the other reality of it all is that the season three has already started. Like, I am last season, and so it's kind of scary how fast you can be thrust in the spotlight and how quickly the spotlight can leave. But luckily for me, my career is just starting, and so many things happened for me after The Voice, getting the record deal, and then Walmart called and asked for a Christmas record, and then I made Rhodes, so I have two records on the charts right now, and we haven't started doing TV press yet, so I'm about to start doing Today Show, and we're going to do the Rockefeller Center tree lighting, and like there's so many things, and not to mention the PBS special, so the spotlight. Hopefully I can start to, you know, establish myself as an artist after The Voice is really the goal, isn't it? That's what we all want, is to turn what that opportunity was into a lifelong career.
Chris, you mentioned the PBS special. Tell us more about that.
I am so, so excited and to be working with PBS. PBS specials, if you don't know what they are, like you've public broadcasting, and you might turn on a pledge drive and you'll see an artist performing a concert and they'll cut away and they'll do, be doing a pledge drive and giving away the record and you're raising money for your local PBS station. And that's what I've been asked to do for PBS. So I filmed it last weekend in LA, a 60-minute concert for a 90-minute PBS special. And Martina McBride was my special guest and a saxophonist named Mindy Hebert. And then I also taped a Christmas special for PBS, which will air next year, so in 2013 Christmas. So it's for my genre, which is like the vocalist adult type of music. It's the beginning of what can be really wonderful things. That's what Josh Groban did, and Michael Bublé did, and Chris Cody did, and Sarah Brightman did. And so I'm really, really honored to have been invited into that group.
When you were on The Voice, what was the best thing about being on The Voice, and what was the most challenging thing for you?
The best thing is that you get to perform on a Grammy-caliber stage every week. That stage is so much fun, and the lights and the staging and your costumes and your wardrobe and the band and the sound and the audience, and it is very addicting. It's like having your own Vegas show every week. I absolutely loved it, and it turns you into a better performer, a better singer, just by being there, because you get to do it on such a high level. The hardest thing for me was just not psyching myself out. Like, I'm a perfectionist. I talked about it on the show. I was really terrified of making mistakes. I still am. It's a bad quality. I think it has that, like, crazy classical training phobia that comes along with being a classical musician, where you don't make mistakes. And so I'm really trying to ease up on myself and pressure to be perfect all the time. But it's really easy to start reading things online and to start second-guessing yourself or start strategizing on how you can outdo your competitors. And I don't know, I think that would probably be the hardest part.
When you were performing on The Voice, especially live, you mentioned that you're a perfectionist, and obviously that was a concern. What was your biggest concern when you were performing live?
Performing live, I didn't really have any concerns about performing live. I was really cerebral about song choices, and because what was selling on iTunes and those count as votes, and I was singing older classic songs instead of like super current songs that were selling a lot more. And I think that I was always concerned about that, which Christina didn't care. And that's why she's so great. It's like, she wasn't interested in what was cool. She was interested in what was great.
Right.
So, and I did that, I think, when I made Roads, is picking the best songs, the most beautiful songs, even some that are really contemporary, but just making them great. That's the best you can do, because I knew that I couldn't out-cool Lindsay, who was always cool, and she was always doing something really hip and artistic and wild. And once I like forgot that, I mean, I just accepted that I couldn't out-cool her, and I couldn't, you know, out-rock Juliet, or for example.
Right.
You just have to do what you do the best. And that, I think that was probably the thing that I was always caught up on.
You mentioned Lindsay Paveo. What made Team Christina so strong?
Team Christina was super strong. And Team CeeLo, I think, was really strong in the end, and I didn't see that coming as much. Because Jamar, for example, and Juliet were both amazing singers. And, of course, every team had amazing singers. But Team Christina was great because she had such a huge variety of people. And it made it very scary to be on that team, because it was so apples and oranges that it's not like, it was totally up to America's preference at that point. Because Lindsay and I were nothing alike, and Ashley De La Rosa was on my team, and Jesse Campbell, all four totally different. So that was the hardest part about being on a team like that.
Now, speaking of song choice, one very bold song choice that you tackled, of course, was Coldplay's Viva La Vida, which we started the show with. I really, really like your rendition of that. How did that come about?
Well, the challenge that I still, you know, face all the time is that I am basically a ballad artist. Like, I love to sing ballads, and that's, my voice is pretty, and that's sort of what it does best. But it can also be really boring and sleepy. And so how to make it interesting and still have fun and be entertaining and things that I love to do. So it's really tough to find the songs that have melody enough for me to actually sing well and have a beat. And so I was struggling to find one that I was really into, and I was sitting there with Laura, my fiance, and in the car, and Viva La Vida came on the radio, and we looked at each other and we were like, this is it, because it has the symphony in it. It has all the elements that I enjoy anyways. Like, the orchestration is important to me, and then it has this really lyric melody. It's a very big melody that I could sing with the drums. So it was perfect.
What did Christina say when you approached her with that idea?
She was totally into it. And we knew that we had to do something different at that point, and because I had done 4 ballads in a row, and this was actually really interesting, we needed to show variety. Of course, that was my polarizing performance. You know, half people hated it, half people liked it. But after I did Viva La Vida, it was Adam Levine, who was pretty much silent with me the whole show. He really could have cared less about me. He said, I really just want to hear you sing opera, because that's why you're here, right? And I was like, you're right. And so we did Ave Maria next, and I was like, you asked for it. And that was really what I think was my highlight moment of the whole show, was doing Ave Maria and unapologetically being what I am and saying, I don't need to try to be cool for you. And it felt really good. I was really excited about it.
When you're singing a song like Ave Maria, what are you feeling when you're singing that?
I'm experiencing that melody every single time. It's one of the most beautiful melodies ever, is Schubert's Ave Maria. And I just performed that on my PBS special as well with a choir. And I totally feel that song every time I do it. And I love to add, I'm adding little twists and turns to the melody, the more comfortable I, you know, get with having my own stage. And it's a beautiful song, and I love singing in foreign languages, just because it's so special to be able to convey the emotion of a song when other people don't understand the words, because it makes them feel the song. And I think that is why songs like Cuore, which is on my record, which I wrote with a friend of mine, using Bach's Air on a G-string melody, which is a very famous melody. Then we wrote an original chorus. And it's about being a slave to love, is what that means in your heart.
Mm-hmm.
And then people, if you can't necessarily just like cheat and listen to the words, you have to really feel the melody. You have to feel the music. And when you see me live, like, I'm going to be acting that song out for you. And that, I love that aspect of performing for sure.
In terms of Ave Maria, in a technical and artistic sense, are there certain keys to performing that song to the highest degree possible?
Of course. It's not an easy song to perform. It's like requires lots of breath support. And so that was one thing I was worried about, singing it on the voice, because I knew that I might be nervous. And the opening line is so famous. It's, you know, Ave Maria, but it's really long. You have to take a huge breath, and you have to support it and get that line out. So that's one key, and then it has a big ending. There's a high note at the end that you have to prep for and save yourself for. And, you know, classical singing, you have to sort of map out how you're going to do things, and that's how I learned to sing. That's how I sing, which sometimes annoys me that I do that, because I feel like there's gospel singers and some singers who haven't, who sort of grew up in church or grew up in some fashion singing without, like, learning the technical way to do it. that just sing, as opposed to like thinking about it and then singing, which I do. So that would be one thing I wish that I could change about sort of the way that I approach music, is just take out the thinking part.
You mentioned that that was probably your best performance on The Voice. What was Christina's reaction after you performed Ave Maria?
She was really proud. She loved it. It was a really special moment, and the staging was great, and we had all these candles on the stage and candles in the audience, and Adam, who, you know, kind of famously last year he and Christina were not getting along so well, and for him to sort of have challenged me to go classical, I was all about it, you know. She was thrilled because it was a really successful performance, and certainly once again set, you know, established what type of artist I was trying to be.
Well, Chris, we're going to have to take a little break from our fascinating journey, but never fear. I'll be back in a lightning flash with Chris Mann talking about The Voice and his new album, Rhodes, who's riding along with us on the TV Time Machine. Marie!